Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Hey, everybody, welcome to the first episode of our new Big Blend Radio, Big Daily Blend podcast. Say that 10 times real quick. Of course, you know, this is taking over a big weekly blend, which actually started as being the Big Daily Blend. But then, you know, things happen and change and people give input. And honestly, we do want to be daily with this because every day has something to celebrate. As we have said years ago, Nancy, every day's a holiday, right?
That's right. And that's what you should make it.
Yes. Celebrate every moment. And there's crazy holidays, but this podcast is going to take some of those holidays and make it into the word evergreen. So it doesn't matter if you don't catch it on the day that holiday happens. We have good information, or today's show, funny information for you. So we're going to be doing this every show. We'll have a quote of the day. We're going to talk music, books, and movies that connect with the theme of the show. Today happens to be our 17th anniversary of Big Blend Radio, which started off as the Champagne Sunday Show, Big Blend Radio Champagne Sunday Show. Many years ago, we started on Blog Talk Radio, which we are not part of now, but we are part of every main platform from Spotify and YouTube to Apple, iHeartRadio, you name it, we're there. And it's been quite a joyride. And we have had many, many, many guests, amazing guests on our show. And we want to thank our listeners, number one, for being here with us on this journey, right, Nancy? This is incredible. Mm-hmm. We're 17. That means we're old enough to know better, but we're still going to do it.
Are you legal at 17?
No.
I can't.
I don't know how legal you are in this country, but when I was 17, I was working for you. I graduated high school and worked for you at 17 in your magazine in South Africa. And this year also marks 27 years of Big Blend magazines in this country. So basically, Nancy and I are very young. We're also, we are 12 years on the Love Your Parks tour, traveling the country full time, documenting parks, public lands, visiting them. And we have we have so much happening this year of change that is positive, new websites, especially for our Love Your Parks tour starting over, and also focusing on accessibility in parks and ADA compliances. And hey, you know, we're going to do some field recordings so you can actually listen to what it's like in parks and all kinds of good things. So stay tuned with us. Keep up with us if you go to bigblendradio.com, blendradioandtv.com. We have new websites coming, so there will be some construction dust over the next couple of weeks. But most importantly, thank you, listeners. Thank you to everyone who's been part of our journey. And thank you to our guests on today's show. First off is Johnny Schaefer. Johnny is our co-host on every first Sunday. Johnny, we met a few years ago. He came on our show to talk about Christmas music. He's an incredible singer, songwriter, and his husband, Paco, does amazing video work. And you can keep up with him at hearjohnny.com. So welcome back, Johnny. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Lisa. Hi. Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. It is a Happy New Year, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's good. It is good. So are you excited? I mean, we're going to be doing this every Sunday. First Sunday with you. I mean, are you going to be able to keep us in line? Because you're the co-host.
I'm very excited. I'm very honored that you guys asked me. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to 2024.
What we like about you, Johnny, is you have a sense of humor and you're an amazing singer. We love your music, but you're also a very inspirational person. And I think that's important when we think about being on a Sunday, no matter what your spiritual beliefs are, that we have fun and we like to, you know, Champagne Sundays was our flagship show that started, you know, is this really 17 years ago? Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
Lisa.
I mean, I know. But
I
that
feel
was,
every
people keep emailing me, what happened to your Champagne Sunday show? And I'm like, damn it, we can't just make a slight change and, you know, but a champagne toast was about gratitude. And I think that's something important with you. You have a gratitude club on Facebook that we love, and I'm not as good as it on it. Like, I'm not as good as I want to be, like every day posting gratitude. But when I do, and I'm like, God, that makes me feel better. So I think that's so important about kicking off a month, the first Sunday of every month, talking about gratitude and a champagne toast, which is about finding the good and the happiness and the joy amid craziness that our world, obviously we all know about, you turn on the news, but we can't end what's happening in your own life. You could be going through something so huge, whether it's, you know, personal, medical, you never, you know, could be your job. Finding gratitude actually in the worst times is more important, right?
Yeah, you know, I've one thing I've really noticed, I started the Gratitude Club probably 12 or 13 years ago, and I really find that reading what other people are grateful for helps me realize how much really there is to be grateful for. You know, they'll express gratitude for things that wouldn't have occurred to me. And so over all these years, you know, posting, I've just really, I have friends who've said, wow, I don't, the idea is that you post five things a day that you're grateful for. And I've had friends say, wow, I don't know if I could think of five things. And now it's so easy for me because you can be grateful for anything, big, small. It doesn't, it's just being grateful for everything. And I believe that we get more of what we focus on. And so when we focus on the things that we're grateful for, we're telling the universe we want more of that.
I like that manifestation. You know,
that is the truth, because I am grateful for even pavement, because when the pavement's uneven, no, because I keep tripping over uneven pavement. Because I'm always looking at birds in the sky. I'm not looking where I'm walking. I'm always looking up, or I'm looking at a flower or something, but we keep moving forward. And I'm not looking about, I don't really want to look at the ground where I'm walking. Now in Africa, you do, but I just take it for granted the pavement will be even. Well, it's not. And I have to learn that, because it, so I am grateful.
I've had
for,
to pick her up a lot off of.
Oh my gosh. I am so grateful for even pavement.
Something else about pavement. When I was a little kid, I used to, well, my parents got divorced, and so my mom didn't live with me. And I would stand in our driveway, and I would think about the fact that my driveway was connected to her driveway and my grandma's driveway and driveways like all over the country. And you could never leave pavement and get to her house. And it made me feel closer to her, if that makes sense, because it was a
roadway.
Steadily paved, you know, all the way there. And so somehow that made me feel closer to my mom.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Yeah. I like that. I want to bring our next guest, Steve Schneikert. He's an actor, performer, entertainer. He does our Hollywood History podcast on Big Blend Radio. And he's a dear friend. And he always reminds me, thoughts become things. Just tagging on to the Gratitude Club. And I know he's part of the Gratitude Club, but welcome back, Steve. How are you?
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank well. You. That was good. You're doing good. So thoughts become things. Is that true? I think so.
Yes, they do.
What led you to that belief system?
Just a series of events that would happen if I thought about things.
And
so,
just
you know, it's just keeping it very positive. I don't go to the negative. No.
Well, I got rid of my negative recently. You know about that. I was like, okay, that's enough of that. I'm gonna get that out.
It's a wishing for good things, not bad.
I think you have to go beyond the wishing and have belief, right? So wishing is hoping, and belief and hope
faith.
Are really important. But faith in your belief. Nancy taught me about visualization, which has been a huge thing in my life of success, is visualization. You want something, visualize it happening. And I do that in going into important meetings and things like that in visualization. And some of the most crucial moments come from that. And it's Nancy's fault. She did all these courses and management things and, you know, And she manages me very well, but she taught me the power of visualization. And visualization, you can't wish, Nancy, so I'm going to go at you on that. You can't wish. You have to go beyond the wish. Oh, that's true. That's like a dream. Yeah.
You start there, you wish, then you visualize it, then you take steps to make it happen.
Good. Yay. So happy New Year, everybody, on that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love this. I love this. I want to go to Eva Eldridge. She's a dear friend. She gets our mail. She is probably, you know, just like tried and true blue friend in so many ways and a great writer, editor. She is going for what she wants for sure in her next journey in life in the world of literature. So you can keep up with her at evaeldridge.com. You read her articles on our site. She's going to be on our show soon talking about Cabo San Lucas in Mexico that she just had a wonderful time in. I'm going to do that show soon. But Eva, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. And you guys, it sounds like you're doing well.
Yes, we're doing good.
And
we're
happy
eliminating
anniversary.
Negative. Thank you. Thank you. Eliminating anything negative and moving forward in positive. I think 2024 is the year of infinity, and we should roll with it. And so the only way to infinity is to go forward. Go ahead.
Yeah, we just had that conversation, and it's an absolutely good move.
Yeah.
Oh, and something that Steve said when he says, you know, you have to visualize what you want. One of the things that I believe is we bring that which we fear the most to us, right?
That's true.
And I think that's part of your process of learning how to deal with it. And I think it works in the reverse. We bring that which we love the most to us also.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you go, girl.
Yep.
And that's where focusing to what we choose to focus on makes a huge difference.
Right.
Nobody knows that we're really going to talk about farts today from this, initial conversation, right?
Oh my gosh.
I was going to go there, but I want to go back to Eva. Eva, can you tell a little bit about what you're doing in the world of literature? Because I want to say January 8th is the World Literary Day, like it's celebrating the world. So we're going to, you know, this is January 7th, but January 8th is World Literature Day, which I think the world of literary world. And I was like, dang, you know, Eva's on this show too. So we got to touch on that a little bit. But you're doing a lot. You do a lot in the Tucson Sisters in Crime in Tucson, Arizona, where you are. But yeah. Give everybody some insight of what you're working on, if you want to.
I'm going. January 8th is the first day of classes for grad school at Colorado Western University. Yay!
Cool.
And where I'm attending with the hopes of having a publishing master's in July.
Cool.
And that's my biggest focus right now.
So. I think it is huge, and I love that you're starting on World Literary Day. That's pretty darn cool. That's pretty amazing.
Well,
and it's national.
That you have to blame the college for that.
No, but I think it's smart, and it's National Typewriting Day then too. So, you know, just saying. But that's tomorrow's show, everyone. And Nancy and I will have something else in store for you that won't be that, or will be. We don't know. Tune in and find out. Go to bigblendradio.com. But Johnny, for you as a singer-songwriter, I mean, you compose and your work is, you know, you do what you want as a singer and a songwriter. I can't even put you in a category and I don't ever want to, but your step into becoming what you do, the success that you have, and I know you've got, you know, a background of marketing and business and all kinds of other things, but being successful, like what Eva's doing, going for her next step in life of what she loves is books and writing and editing and all of that. What did you do to change things up for you to make it happen? Did you go to college? Did you do something different?
Well, I was in marketing for the credit union industry. For a few decades. I kind of fell into that after college. I was recording demos and needed a job to, you know, have money to make more demos. It's very hard to make money at music. And so I kind of fell into that world and learned a lot about marketing, is probably more about what not to do than what to do. Mm-hmm. But then the music, as most industries, music industry is changing really fast and everyone's scrambling. I have a lot of friends who were very successful artists decades ago with labels. And the labels did everything. You know, they had hundreds of people doing different things for them. And now in this DIY world where in most mm-hmm. industries, you know, you do everything yourself, we have to wear all these hats. And a lot mm-hmm. of my musician friends are just lost. You know, they don't, because you have to use a service to get your music distributed out to digitally, you know, on all those platforms and make videos and everything mm-hmm. else. And then try to get people to pay attention, because there are as many as 100,000 songs uploaded every single day. Mm-hmm. And so to try to get attention to our projects is hard. And so I appreciate people like you who bring attention to what we do. And I try to find things that are relevant to each song that I do. And a lot of my songs are story songs or they're on topics. And so I seek out social media groups that could relate to those songs and things like that, and try to promote by engaging with people who would actually be interested in that, because really that's where it is finding the audience that's going to appreciate what you do.
Yeah, I love that. I think, go Eva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do for writers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly that, because people can write, but they can't do all the other stuff. Mm-hmm. How do you get that book in print? How do you get that book distributed? How do you get that book edited? How do you get all of that stuff done? And that's what I'm trying to do. I can write, but I don't tell stories as well as I do all the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So part of going to publishing school is to learn how to do all that.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It is.
And it's so needed. You know, I have a friend who self-published, about a year ago, and just, you know, seeing what she went through, and if she'd had someone like you, I'm sure it would have been a lot easier for her. So that's great.
It's difficult. I mean, I started out as a wildlife artist. And so I could paint, but then going to get your work in galleries and which galleries to approach and how do you talk to the gallery owners, which is a whole different ball field. Mm-hmm. Oh,
mm-hmm.
And the rejection factor,
yeah,
and getting past that, mm-hmm. and it just get up and try again and try again.
Keep going.
And not to change who you are and what you do because of one person saying something negative. That's, I think, the biggest thing. And, you know, that, and the hardest, especially when you first start out. The first time you get somebody negative, you almost want to quit, go kill yourself, mm-hmm. and drink a lot and do a whole bunch of stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, so it's about, okay, you connected with the wrong person. Go find another person.
Mm.
And it's not easy. Not and it does take time. And I just, in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is another, you're just paying your dues. Mm. You got to pay for what you get in one way or another.
Yes. We call it school fees. Like if you don't have like the big money to do the big college degree, right? You know what I mean? Like what America does to college students. Then, you know, you're going to have to do the hard knocks, and there's different ways of doing it. And with Eva, what you're doing, I think, is perfect too. But you're going to do the hard knocks no matter what. I don't care what education you do. You're going to go to the School of Hard Knocks, and the School of Hard Knocks teaches you reality. And that's why you have friends to tell you, like, get on with it, move forward, keep moving forward. Don't go down. Steve, you know, how many calls have you heard me going, wah, 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 you know, the school of hard knocks. But for actors, let's talk about that. For actors and performers, it's got to have changed, Steve, you know, right, for everyone. And I hope that in a way with, I think movies have changed so much, which is positive and negative. But at the same time, I hope we really keep community theater, because would you say like that is a good starting ground for those in the arts to learn
Absolutely.
Those skills?
That's how I started.
Yeah.
I became 16, had my driver's license. I could drive myself to rehearsals, and that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Within
cool.
2 years, well, actually 4 years from 16, I moved to L.A.
Wow.
And there
wow.
I got an agent. I was performing. I got my union card, Actors Equity and AFTRA and SAG.
Mm. I don't
awesome.
Like the word
just
SAG.
Just doing it. Green
we don't like that word.
I know. Yeah. I know. I'm just kidding. But no, this is huge.
Like
so you do this all really early in life. So you had to be dedicated and focused, right? So
and excited.
When you think, and excited. Mm-hmm. So rehearsals, if you screw up a rehearsal, what happens?
Well, you redo the scene.
Yeah.
You just, yeah, it's
no, but
biggie.
What if you don't show up? Like, my point is showing up.
No, that's not good.
Oh, you have to show. If you don't show up, then you're out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And rightly so, unless you have a really, really good reason. Family emergency,
right.
Something like that. But I forgot. Doesn't cut it.
Well, this is where I'm in now. Like, just in regards to what's going on in the world of, like, you know, self-publishing. Also movies, people are self-directing, doing all kinds, because we're in this world of you can do it yourself, which is great, but you do need an editor, you need a producer, you need someone to help you in the recording studio and cut out the stuff, you need someone that's going to help you cut the fat, right? And so we're in all of that, but if you don't show up to those important things, you can't. In the creative arts, you want to be creative, and then there's this other side that's like, damn it, do I really have to go meet the media? Do I, unless you're in that zone of that's excitable for you, good. But, and then temper it. But then, I mean, temper it, in other words, be honest, stay who you are, stay true to you, you know. There's the other side of, oh my God, now I am going to have to meet the media. And I'm like, I don't want to, especially for writers. Eva, right? It's so hard for writers. And you think if you could publish it and put it out through publishers or self-publishing, get it on Amazon. Oh, yay, we're out there, right? Johnny is a musician. Oh, yay, mm-hmm. We put it on Spotify. I'm going to be famous. No.
Nope.
No. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Nope.
And I can only think, honestly, that it's hard for artists, musicians, performers, actors. I can't even imagine what actors are feeling right now. Even though there's all of those strikes and everything, Steve, I mean, it's like band together. And I feel like the creative arts, we all have to band together in every form
absolutely.
Of creativity.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the creativity world, there are so many different personalities that agree and disagree, that unifying the creative world is not always easy.
It really?
Yeah.
Well, no, because everybody wants to be a chief. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be an Indian.
Oh. Yeah.
Everyone wants to be in control.
And wait, Steve, was that politically correct or not? Like, you know, now we also have that to a point of crazy where people actually mean well, and then they're being told to shut up because they actually mean well but said the wrong thing, not understanding. So I don't know if we're allowed to say chief and Indian anymore and not putting you down. I'm just saying, you know, where we're at. I know exactly what you mean.
Everybody should just take a deep breath. Go to that happy space in your mind and give people some leeway.
Yeah. Johnny, you were going to say something there?
But yeah, my thing is that a lot of the decision makers in the entertainment industry are people that are just really, they're business people and not really yeah. creators themselves. And I just think they make really bad choices. I was, I know we're trying to stay evergreen, but I watched some of the New Year's Eve, you know, shows where they're supposed to be variety. And I just think the choices they made and the artists they brought on and everything were terrible. They didn't understand their audience. I think they were trying to go for people that were out in the clubs and putting on artists that those people weren't going to be, you know, the people who are watching the show weren't going to be interested in.
Homebodies at that point are like, we want some classics. You know, but then I saw your Facebook post about that. Yeah. The '80s are huge because you know what? Yeah. We're the children of the new, you know, like the new generation. Like, okay, you know, but it is all dictated, right? So Eva, do you see that in the book world too? That is it like, I'm seeing that like the big publishers are kind of like not doing as much and we're getting so many small publishing entities now. That are great. I love it because I think we're going to actually get better, in that world.
Because they've, you know, condensed one publisher's bought another, so we're down to the big five. And to get something through them, you almost have to be agented because you have to have an agent. Agents are hard to find because if your work isn't exactly stellar, then you're not going to get an agent. And then to get it published, you're still looking at 2 to 3 years before your book, if it's even accepted, is out in print. And if you're a debut author, you get very little publicity. So you're still doing all the publicity work. And then what they're doing is they're looking at what do they think they will sell in 3 years? What's popular? It may not be vampires right now. It might be, you know, political thrillers or something. And so they're guessing what the future wants to read. So we do have a bunch of smaller presses coming in, you know, like mystery writers and romance writers and genre fiction, like science fiction and fantasy and all that stuff. There's a bunch of self-publishing and there's a bunch of mid-sized presses around there. So, and I'm hoping that if it's that, and there's a bunch of self-publishing. So you're going to get quality from one end to the other.
Gotcha.
And it's complicated. There's nothing easy about it. And it's like the music industry. There is nothing easy about getting your songs out there.
Mm-mm. Yeah. This is the biggest industry in the world. The arts.
Yeah.
And the most important. Other than
trying to appeal to everyone in the world and everything they think and everything they like or dislike just isn't that easy. And as a publisher, a book publisher or art gallery or a business that makes their money on a specific thing, they have to be really, really careful that they find their niche and grow with it or change it when it needs to be changed. And when I say change it when it needs to be changed, that's where we usually fail. It worked for this many years. Well, it ain't working now, Charlie. So move on.
That's a management and leadership. I mean, arts.
That's a hard
the arts are always current.
Follow.
The arts. I think artists put their heart on the line and they frigging do, here's this, but now we have to navigate the business waters. And, it's like, I don't think like just because something's a popular thing that an artist needs to do it. You know, that's like, smart business. And I think if you, artists and musicians and authors and stuff will do it accordingly. And I see it. We do so many interviews on all of it that I really see who, what, and where. But if you're good and it works marketing, good for you. That's awesome. That's like the perfect trifecta at the end of the day. When you put all of those things in place and there's a trifecta. In other words, there's money made. And artists and writers, everybody gets to make money. That they should. Everyone needs to be sustainable. But the dictatorship that's going on from the big people, I hope the small overcome this. you know, because I don't, I mean, at this point, I'll tell you, Johnny, what you're talking about, the New Year's Eve thing, we didn't even know, like, honestly, if you don't have regular TV, like us as digital nomads, we didn't even see that stuff. We didn't see the Rose Bowl parade, but we wanted to see it because our city, Louisiana, our state, Louisiana, that we represent in a lot of shows, we didn't get to see it because we don't have it. And most people don't have regular TV anymore. So I just want to say, like, hello, a lot of that is actually going away because we watched what we wanted to watch, which was Dave Chappelle. And that was really bad. Like, everyone's mad at him, but I love Dave Chappelle. So, and if you actually listen to him, it's not that bad. But, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, that's a very controversial, Dave Chappelle's controversial. But if you really listen,
that's
he
what
actually
comedians
cares about
do.
Everybody, but people don't.
Comedians,
and
are
I know maybe I don't
know.
I mean, Johnny, you may go after me on that with Dave Chappelle, but I've watched all of his stuff, and
no, but Dave
and
Chappelle,
he cared,
another comedian,
so I don't know. But he calls people out. But
they're meant to be controversial. They're meant to say, take a look at yourself and laugh at yourself and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to laugh at our mistakes, not ignore them, fix it, but go, oh, whoopsie, I didn't mean to do that, but I guess I did.
So, well, humor is a powerful way of opening people up to new ideas.
Because we're telling fart jokes soon. So, yeah, sorry, carry on.
No,
sorry.
Please.
I think that, you know, there's always a balance as an artist in trying to, you know, when do you try to give people what they want, and when do you just try to just tell your story your way? And I just think I've always found that when I'm the most authentic, it's the most successful, because people recognize authenticity, and I think they recognize when you're just trying to fake it, or when you're trying to jump on a bandwagon. And I just don't do that. I've had playlisters tell me, well, if you want to get on our playlist, try making this kind of music, or try doing
that's
this.
You. No.
I'm not going to make music to get on your playlist. You know?
No. Are you kidding me? No, it's not that. No. I want to go to Steve real quick before we get to Champagne Toast and play fart jokes, because it is National Pass Gas Day. And we're going to talk about wind. Steve. Wind itself, too. Actual wind. We're going to have fun. We're going to talk movies. It's Golden Globes. Steve, when we talk about books like Eva's, representing authors, and talking about the power of the written word and making it get there, right? You can write something, but if you wanted to get the hands of the reader, how to do it? Johnny's like creating this amazing music, and he collaborates with so many people, you know, whether it's videographers, dancers, writers, you name it. He's helped people also on the other side, not maybe singing in it, but being a consultant, like, you know, even your work with Melissa Manchester, you know, Johnny. So, Steve, going to that part of it, do you think movies have this ability of actually absorbing both of the arts, books, written word, and music? I don't think a movie has that without it, right? So it's kind of interesting. It's all of it. So when you don't treat the industry well, you're screwing that the other two industries in a way.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You have to have a good screenplay. You have to have a good soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have good actors. You have to have a good director, editor.
What about?
See, now I'll switch it. I won't be politically incorrect. You have to have one coach, but you have to have one coach and a lot of players.
Yeah. No. I was just making a statement of what you're saying.
It's a team.
It's a team. We're
right.
Look, it's when you look at the arts, I think people also will do something that's controversial, which it needs to be. The comedians are doing it more than anyone right now,
right,
and fighting for freedom of speech, because you have to be able to laugh at the really bad to be able to move forward. you know, we watched Armageddon, exactly. Ricky Gervais last night, and, you know, he's up for Emmy, and, you know, and there's a lot of comedians, Chris Golden Rock, Globe. Et cetera. And all of, Emmy, and then Golden Globes are up today, right? This show airs on the Golden Globes. And right. Steve had to tell me Globes are not what I thought they were. They were actually the Globe of the World.
Lisa.
I'm sorry. Come on, have some humor. But come on, it is, well, it's funny. And it is. Come on, Golden Globes. I always thought, I'm sorry, I just saw two golden big, you know, melons. Golden honeydew sitting right there. I'm not a lesbian, but I'm just saying. Now I'm in trouble for this show now. And put other people in trouble for what they say on our shows. But
cover up your globes.
Yeah. No, but come on, we're going to be into the naughty hour now. But that's the point. That's the point, is having some humor, and we're cutting to the point. And I don't know, man. I feel like if it's not hate driven, can we find humor? But then when does humor cut the line of hate? You know, it's such a weird thing.
Right.
And then what happens in the music world and the written world? Once something's written down and out there, like Eva, that's got to be pretty rough. You know, the written word is a written word. And once it's there, it's there. It's different than trying to clean it up off the internet, you know? And that's the power of words. The words are powerful. They are. And books and writings have stayed with us through time. You know, ancient writings have stayed with us through time. I even think like Hemingway, people like him, he stays with us, even though he's a crotchety old man. He was crotchety.
Yeah,
you know, but he was right.
It changes. That writing and what we said in 1920, 100 years ago, the attitudes and the style of writing is totally different than it is now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we cannot judge. I mean, you can hate this person because they, you know, they were prejudiced against this or that and the other from what, you know, based on what they wrote 100 years ago. But that was 100 years ago. Don't do it now and carry forward.
Good point.
I'm going to publish my thesis project is publishing a piece of work that's out of the, that's in the public domain. So I chose to do Zane Grey. The book is called Call of the Canyon. And I had to do some research on Zane Grey. And he was a womanizer. He was not, I mean, and he told his wife, I'm going to mess around on you. You can deal with it or don't. And she stayed with him the whole time, right? But his mannerisms and the way he wrote at that time and his attitudes at the time appall me now. I used to read him when I was a kid. I never thought about it when I was a kid. But now it's like, oh, my God, I would never do that. Mm-hmm. But keeping and some of the critiques of him and somebody just went off on how horrible he was. And it's like, lady, look back 100 years ago. That's the way it was.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
I mean, Thomas Jefferson,
the
president of the United States, had slaves. I rest my case right there.
So did Washington. You know,
exactly.
It's like, it's really hard. And when we put down statues, I'm like kind of, Nancy and I have said this. And
I
then
hate that.
We watched the Ricky Gervais Armageddon, and Rick, and don't yell at me about Ricky Gervais's language. If you know Ricky Gervais, don't blame me. Okay. Yeah. I didn't do it. But he was talking about this. Like, can we put, and this is what Nancy have always said, like, if you keep hiding history, I understand take the statue down and don't make him the prominent him, because it's really a him. When do we have a prominent woman statue or black statue or Asian statue or gay statue other than Stonewall, right? That is out there and, like, you know, it's always been these white men from the past. Instead of taking, it's true, I'm talking about these statues being coming down, I just feel like we shouldn't take them down. We should say this was the main focus or something, or move them to another place, but put the other plaque up and say what they did was wrong. Balance the history out. Not be like, oh, this is this big fancy person.
Just tell
say
the
yes,
truth.
He was a he had slaves, and he did this, he did that, but he also did this and this because it's so controversial and complicated. History is complicated. It is not black or white. There is no such thing as black or white in life.
Right.
And as soon as you get into that mode, you're screwed. You can't.
It's the knowledge that you have at the time.
Other than right
alive.
Is right and wrong is wrong. And we all know that. That's where the black and white is. But when you come into what people did in history and how life was back then, right or wrong, just put it all on the table for people to know. Here's the good stuff this person did, and here's the really bad stuff they did. So people can go, oh, okay. And because I don't know anybody anywhere that hasn't done anything wrong. We've all done wrong. Would you like your life to be put down because you did some mistakes in your life? You have to have, and these are bad mistakes of these people. So, like, really bad. It was a lifestyle that was, it was not even like a mistake. It's a lifestyle that's terrible. But can we not put up the truth? That's all. Johnny, what do you think? I mean, on the side, like Stonewall, we have good plaques and statues, and it's very hard to find, honestly, statues of like Harvey Milk, you know, people like that, you know.
I think balance is the key. It's just that right now there's just so much of one thing, as you mentioned, and maybe it isn't a matter of taking away, as a matter of adding a lot of other key figures. You know, they're putting figures on stamps now that you know, different racial people from different racial groups, and having some gay leaders or from the LGBTQ movement and things like that. So people, so just making it more of a, and that's where I think the rainbow idea comes in. Like, just, in other words, like the full spectrum of society and history rather than just one part of it. And that's, there's always a backlash towards things. So I think the reaction toward only seeing one thing is what sometimes a backlash is extreme at first. And then you have to come back and find that balance. Wow. And there's always this ebb and flow. And I think right now we're working through all of these things, and there's a lot of emotion on different sides. And, some of those emotions are valid. I always believe you don't bury things. You let them come up and then you deal with them, but we got to talk to each other. And
Lisa, Nancy, like we talked about the other night, if Norman Lear wrote what he did back in the 70s today, it would not have been put on TV.
No. But there's a thing in my mind, I terminology it, and I know that's not right English, but I terminology this in my mind. I call it, in my mind, the crosswinds of change. Change is something nobody wants, except the people who are already in one faction who are really suffering, and they want to change to their suffering. But across the board, the world really just wants to move on, you know? And I look at the natural world. I look at the animals and plants and what we do to them, and those poor creatures who need to survive just as much as we want to survive. They have to wait for evolution to help them. And maybe that's what we have to wait for. I don't know. I know we have more control than the other species.
Well,
and we do. We have more control.
Well, I'm agreeing with you, and I have to go.
Yeah,
time wise here.
Okay.
No,
I just think that if you have control, you need to educate yourself, and you have to look at everybody else, not just you, if you're going to be successful.
Well, I'm going with you on this because I'm going to get into the national pass the gas day humor.
Well,
Nancy said the wind of change. And so I'm just going to see the window. And so when she said that, I'm like, okay.
I thought of that.
And so I'm going to go with Scorpion, the band, the Wind of Change song. So that has to happen. I before we get into past the gas humor and silliness, you see how these shows happen? We always go off track. Look at this whole conversation that we just had that wasn't supposed to be, but it is. And we love that. That's what the blend is about. The blend is about not being so narrow-minded. It's about being open-minded, open and focused. And we can all get narrow-minded. I know in my life I get into that, oh, we only do this. We need... No. Remember, the world is full of joy, full of treasures, full of things, full of interest. I didn't know I was into mushrooms until last year. Mushrooms, not the psychedelic. Well, then anyway, we won't go there. But, you know, mushrooms, because I was hiking in the forest in the Appalachians with a dog, discovered the world of mushrooms. Now I'm all into mushrooms. Didn't know I was into them, but I am into mushrooms just as I am into birds and flowers and wildlife. Now I have a new thing. So the blend is about joy. So I toast to the blend. Like literally about not just, you know, our company and what we do and everyone being part of it. So I thank everyone, every single person, and toast to everyone who's been on our journey. But it is about a mindset. They all want us to have our little box and niche. And I say, I toast to not being in your little niche. So take that.
Yes. And I toast to that. All.
I didn't mean to take the first toast, but I'm on a little bit of a rant on that. I want to go to Eva. What are you toasting to? It's our Champagne Sunday toast. And yes, Nancy and I do have champagne today. We have to.
Good for you.
God.
Yay.
Cheers.
I'm trying to get my mute button off. Okay, I'm gonna go completely off the rails here. I would like to toast all the people that take care of animals. So veterinarians, people that foster the animals, people that rescue the animals.
Yes.
People that try to do things for the animals.
Awesome.
Some of that has been tugging at my heartstrings lately a lot, and that's what I'd like to toast to. And dogs have very bad, and dogs can pass very, very stinky wind.
Yes, they can. But listen, no, I want to toast you on that. You
know,
I love
you
that.
You know what's really cool about dogs? When they fart, they always wag their tail in your face. They're like, look what I just did.
They're proud.
They're sharing. They're sharing.
And now they're like, they're I just made this. Have some.
Sarah doesn't. Sarah like gets up and runs away. It's like,
she's got
knew. I know Sarah, Eva's dog, Sarah, and she knows good podcasts from a bad one. She does. But then sometimes I was like, is it the guest or oh no, that was that, and I'd be doing a podcast, and all of a sudden I went, oh, thank you, Sarah. Oh, my God. Don't make a face while you're interviewing someone on a Zoom video. Hello. Sarah left her mark about what she thought.
But then cats, because we pet sit around the country.
Cats fart.
Cats, they do fart. And it takes a while to know when they're farting because they're not like dogs. They don't wag their tail and go, look what I just did, and wave it in your face. They look at you like, did you notice it or not?
Yeah,
they just stare at you and like, you're going to do it. And
how did it affect you?
And it's silent.
And
but
violent.
It's lethal.
And deadly.
It's silent but lethal. Yes.
Steve, what are you toasting to, Steve?
I'm toasting to you and Nancy and your anniversary.
Aww. Well, thank you.
And I'm also toasting to my fur baby companion, Bella.
We love Bella. Bella is super sweet and she loves her peanut butter and you do never call Steve at 5 o'clock. I'm just telling people. I say this every show now. But toast to you, Steve, for putting up with us.
I don't know how you do it, Johnny, too.
You know, no. But it's, you know, life is about your community, period. And that is that, you know, positive and negative. It's who you surround yourself with. And when you have good people around you that are nurturing and you don't, do not take them for granted, right? Gratitude Club coming in, Johnny. It's a big deal. And so I think it's important. So we toast back to you, Steve, and you, Eva, and you, Johnny.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh, John, I mean, thank you. Steve has heard some crazy things. So has Eva. Johnny, you're only getting started. No idea. Aren't you glad you're co-hosting this show? But what is your toast?
I want to toast laughter and all the things that make us laugh. And I saw a meme the other day, and I don't remember the numbers, but it talked about how children laugh so many more times a day than adults. And really, we need to be laughing a lot more. And I think laughter cures a lot of things. And you know, we touched on it earlier, talking about comedians. And one of the things that make kids laugh the most is farts. And so I think it's great that we were going to touch on that today. And, you know, I just think we all need to laugh more in 2024.
I do, too.
Yeah, laughter is the best medicine.
It is. Nancy, what are you toasting to?
Well, you know, if oh, should I say this or not? I looked up the word fart a long time ago in the dictionary, and the definition was an explosion between your legs.
So we all did this as kids, right?
No,
come on, we did do that. So who looked up fart in the dictionary as their first word to look up in the dictionary?
I didn't say it was my first word. I said the first. It was a long time ago, but the definition was it was an explosion between your legs. So for a long time, I thought my cheeks were my legs.
So you're toasting to that? Oh my God!
I'm just saying, don't believe everything you read first time around. I don't know.
Well, I do know this. I want Nancy, because it is National Pass the Gas Day, and today's show, believe it or not, is dedicated to the wind. So we were passing wind with each other, let's put it that way, on you know, wind talking is like wind, right? You're breathing life into things. Wind has so many positive and negative connotations. Like if you've got a wind of smoke, like that's not fun. Unless it's pot, like, no, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying, you
sounds
can't help
me.
But listen, Nancy and I drove through Needles, California the other day.
Oh,
literally.
Gosh.
And this little teeny town on the border of Arizona and California was like a little town, very southwestern on Route 66 and everything, on the lower Colorado River. And we were driving through to get up to where we are in Oregon today. And I swear to God, like this place became pot dispensary city.
You could smell it.
And it's everyone's moved to from California to there kind of thing. Not like everyone, but you know what I mean. On the river, there's all this building and everything. And we're like, what the hell happened to Little Needle? You know, it was like this tiny town and you knew like this was the burrito spot. And no, it's different now. We went through so much. Our car smelled so much of weed. Nancy got the giggles. I'm driving on the Interstate 40 getting gas on the Arizona side.
Put the windows down.
I'm like, dude, if we get pulled over, I'm going down. Like, I didn't do anything. And we smelled like weed. So I'm just saying the wind can blow weed into your car. Like we really smelled like weed for a good hour. And I'm like, I didn't enjoy the benefits of this. Nancy did. But
I did.
Like she just gets one whiff of weed and she's happy. I'm like, it takes a lot more. I need the real effect. But she was happy. And I'm going, that's that power of the wind. But passing gas. Now, wait a minute. What about if you're a total stoner? Do you pass gas weed? I want to know.
Oh, come on. God.
Oh, well, what do you think? I mean, if you're playing with the bong, your bong, there's a wind thing going there.
Okay, maybe that's what dogs do when they sniff
another dog. Maybe that's why the word bonghole is really bonghole.
That's why when dogs
Oh, my God.
Great conversation. What happens when a dog sniffs her other dog's butt? He's like, oh, did you smoke weed?
No. Well, no. Now, there was one dog we pet that for. And folks, you know, Nancy and I travel full time. Our Love Your Park, sir. Like, yeah, you know, how many years now? On and off on the road, but a good 10 years now, really on the road. And we pet sit, and not for money. His trusted house sitters, I'm sure they want to have their name out there now. But there's one dog, Tuli. It was one of the first dogs we pet sat for. And Nancy made a fart sound and pointed at her butt, and she looked at her butt like she did it. And that's it. Dogs do look at their butt when they fart, just like humans do. If they know they did a good fart, they actually turn and look. I remember Nancy did an art show, traveling art show in South Africa, and I was on this tour with her, and she was raising money for the Cancer Association. Great tour. We were on the road full time. Things have never really changed for us that way. And she had this art display, and you could tell when someone was going to buy a painting because they lifted a leg. It was mostly men. They sat, like, literally would stand, look at a painting, lift a leg. So basically a butt cheek. So we're looking from the back, right? You could see they're lifting a butt cheek, and we knew they were going to buy a painting. And that's the truth. People fart before they buy. I just want to say that on National Pass the Gas Day, people do fart. So if you fart, you before you buy something, you may know that that is a match for you. I'm not against it. I'm just saying.
No, but so if you're the person selling, look for the shoulder lift.
Or the butt lift. The butt lift. There's a cheek
lift. That's
rude. Listen. No, but it's the truth. Men have this ability to raise an entire cheek up. I mean, if they're wearing shorts, you can see the cheek go up. Oh, the other one's just like, I'm letting the gas go under. It's airflow. So anyway, we're talking about when it's past the gas day. We do have a playlist of music. We're putting up some recipes of the day. They all include beans, because Steve, didn't you say beans are important on this day that we talk about it? And there was a TV scene that everyone should watch.
a movie scene.
Oh, it's a movie. Was it the movie scene? Tell everybody
what you
sent.
Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Yep.
Blazing Saddles.
Yep. Okay. So
we
everybody.
Laugh about that all the time.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles. I couldn't believe that, actually, when you sent that to me. I was like, what?
Well,
and then, Johnny, you had the farting.
And did
pasta?
You notice?
Go ahead.
Hold on one sec. And if you noticed, when you watched that, the first guy to pass gas, he lifted up his cheek.
Yeah.
That's right. See? It's a cheek lifter.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. Sometimes you got to let it out, because I feel like there is a sense of pride over your fart. Like, you don't want to squish it unless you need to. And
dude,
then you know the bubbles are going to go up your leg somewhere you don't want to. And as a woman, they could go in the wrong place. Sometimes that's fun. Okay, don't squish the bubbles, right? If you let them, you want to let it flow, right? You don't breaking the wind is, don't you like let it out. It's breaking out of your butthole as a fart. Okay, off it goes. But if you double break the wind, you could ruin the whole beauty of what we created. It's a masterpiece. I mean, it's a natural masterpiece of music. Like, come on. I'm sorry. Steve, you're right. They did. They did. And they're sitting there around the campfire. I should be sorry.
Well, my family had a tape recorder, a cassette recorder in the living room. And whenever anyone farted, we would run over and fart into the tape recorder. It was our fart tape. And my mom she loved the artist at it. And we had quite a collection by the end. And then they would take song lyrics and change them to fart lyrics and put that on the tape. So it was my brother found it recently, and pretty funny.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? So, okay. So farting. You sent me the pastor.
Oh my God.
Tell everybody about the pastor farting.
On YouTube, if you Google pastor gas, People took an evangelical pastor from, you know, decades ago that is very, that uses a lot of facial expressions while he's preaching. And so they inserted fart noises when he made all these facial winces and everything. And it's legendary. There's actually a Wikipedia article about it. It's part of things. So it's just pastor gas. And it's just a series of videos of him giving sermons, and then they just insert fart noises. It's pretty funny.
It's funny.
Eva, how do we do fart noises in books? How do we do it?
I'm not sure we've covered that, or I'm not reading the right things.
Yeah, there was
another. I have to think about that.
Okay. Yeah. Can I tell the talcum powder twins story, Nancy?
Okay. I'll tell the talcum powder. Let me just uplift this conversation.
Uplift it.
Yes. Benjamin Franklin wrote an essay on the topic for the Royal Academy of Brussels in 1781, urging a scientific study on farts. No, and in 1607, okay, a group of members of Parliament had written a ribald, if you're British, ribald, if you're American, yes, poem entitled "The Parliament Fart." As a symbolic protest against the conservatism of the House of Lords and the King James I. So the original, now they carry on to the original seven dirty words, of which fart is one of them. They were trying to add that to the list, but it was considered too non-offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's Thomas Wolfe, an author. Lisa, you know who he is, right?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He had the phrase a fizzing and sulfuric fart that was edited out of his book, one of his books.
No! Sulfuric fart!
I know,
that's
okay.
That's like the edge fart.
And
come on.
Ernest Hemingway had the same publisher. They had to sign papers that said they could take the word fart out. So
the publisher.
This is a controversial
sulfuric
term.
Fart. Sulfuric tells you the essence of a fart. There is no, I mean, when you smell sulfur, you know they ate eggs. That's it. You know. And Nancy and I have had our own experience in Death Valley over bad eggs that I don't ever want to tell people about.
Okay, let me move forward with this. When in the hippie movement, redefined the word fart as a personal noun to describe a person as an old fart
bag.
Oh, so I'd gone too far into this room.
She went into the fart hole. So Nancy, can you tell everyone? I want people to hear the story of Nancy and the talcum powder twins. So when Nancy, early in her young 20s, she had had me, and she was doing a lot of conservation work for Born Free, and she rehabilitated animals for Tippi Hedren. Oh, we didn't talk about that on shows very much.
We're not going to
go there, but Tippi's animals were not well, and Nancy took care of them. And anyway, through all of this work, Joy Adamson, who is known for Born Free and Elsa the Lion and all of that, Nancy ended up working for her. But in the meantime, he was taking groups over, which was a fundraiser for Born Free, to Kenya. And Nancy had never traveled out of the country. She was fresh, naive, young Nancy. Mm. Naive. Like now, hell no, she ain't naive. Don't mess with Nancy.
Hello.
But she took people for the first time over to Kenya from America. Mm. And she had never traveled out of this country. And the tour company just goes, whatever happens, just go. It wasn't like this last year.
No, but I was fired because of my knowledge of the natural world and animals.
She has it. So she goes over and they go through airplane strikes, all of this stuff.
That was
and
all new to
finally
me.
Get to Africa after all this drama. They get to Africa. They check into a hotel where the hotel finally, like, you know, when things screw up. And we're talking in the 70s, okay? It's not like you have Google, it's you have GPS, any of that. Really? Yeah, it is. Sorry. But anyway, she gets this call. Think about it. They call from the hotel reservation desk. Miss Nancy, you must go to the ladies' room. And I'm wanting you to go there. So she's going to go to the ladies' room. And there was two young school teachers. The whole group was school teachers. There were only two younger school teachers. The rest were on their elder side and very stiff. These two were like the hippie school teachers. And so Nancy goes down there thinking, what now, man? We've gone through so much crap. Now what? She knocks on the door. She opens the door. And they're buck naked. Yes. Nancy, take it away. Tell us the scene you saw as you opened the door, or they opened the door.
Well,
to you.
One's on bed on her hands and knees, and the other one
naked.
Is standing over. They're both naked. The other one is standing over with a container of talcum powder. And I'm like, this is beyond any of my personal experience.
I said naive
at this
for a reason.
Point. No, I mean, I understand horses mating and rhinos mating and stuff like that. I didn't get this part. I didn't get it. So I was like, whoa. And I felt like I opened the wrong room door, because who would invite you into their room when they're stark naked? And they're like, come in, hurry up. And the other one on the bed is going, it's going to happen. I'm like, so confused. I mean, I'm in my early 20s. And here, then, he's like, pour now. The one on the bed's going, pour now. The one standing over her pours talcum powder, which I'm horrified because it's going on the hotel floor. Because you don't do stuff like that when you travel. And the other one on the bed farts. And honest to God, it was one of the most impressive mushroom clouds I've ever seen. It looked just like even to the whenever I see a picture of what they go, the atomic bomb going off looks like this, I'm like, that's it.
I know, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer saw what you saw.
It's the talcum, and so I named it the talcum powder twins. And seriously, they started the first atomic bomb. And I'm like, what? I don't, you know, and they were friends traveling together. I don't know, actually, if they were a couple. I really didn't ask questions like that at that time, because it was beyond my scope of knowing about stuff like that. And, you know, but here I'm like this really naive person on so many levels, taking people into Africa to look at wildlife. And now when I look back, I'm like, holy crap.
Did any of you have any fart escapade growing up? Like, I mean, the Blue Flame contest, did any of you do that?
God, we all did that.
Yeah.
I mean.
You mean lighting them?
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah. Everybody did that. Firemen do that when they're at the firehouse.
Dude, no. Seriously?
Yes. My dad was a fireman, my brother, my grandfather, my cousin. What do you think kept them busy between calls?
Oh, my gosh.
God.
Oh, no,
but it was
way.
Unfortunate for one of the firemen, as he did it, it sucked right back up in him.
Oh, that's what we call a taint.
Oh,
sorry.
No, stop that.
No, but it is that weird piece of skin, you know, that looks like it's been burned. So it's like a weird thing. Uh-oh, I shouldn't say that, should I? I should take that off this show, but I'm not. But it is. It is what it is. I mean, gosh, I mean, the most clean people I know have used it in their books, Eva. Not you. I'm just saying.
It's a word.
It's a word. It is a body part, but it is always this weird body part that none of us, or is it a part even? What is it? It's just, okay, I won't go there. I'm going to have to cut this out.
No, Lisa, do you realize that some supermarkets actually sell fart-free dog biscuits?
Oh, come on. Listen, dogs like to fart.
I'm sure it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, movies. It's the Golden Globes. There's the Maestro and everything. And I wanted to, before we get into the music thing, and we need to get going here because we are out of time here. But I wanted to share the quote of the day. And this comes from the movie Maestro, which is nominated for a Golden Globe and an Emmy, I think, too. I don't know. But
no, it'll be most likely nominated for an Oscar.
Do you think,
too? It wouldn't be for an Emmy because Emmy is TV.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's why I got it. They were showing Emmy stuff on Netflix last night. That's why I'm confused. Okay. That's why. It was like Emmy nominated. Emmy this, Emmy that. Okay. All right. And I was like, we're talking about the Golden Globes today, but I think this really puts together everything we've talked about today. And it's a quote in the beginning of the movie of Maestro. And I was like, dude, you know, we love our quotes of the day on Big Blend Community and everything. A work of art does not answer questions. It provokes them. And its essential meaning is in the tension between the contradictory answers. Leonard Bernstein. I mean, I think that is it about the arts. It is the questioning.
Yeah.
And when we stop questioning, we grow old. You know, that means we stop learning. And so that's what the arts are everything. Books, music, film, TV, stage, comedy, all of it. And it's controversial. It's supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to have a little rubbery here and there. You're supposed to have that little fire. So a work of art does not answer questions. It provokes them. And its essential meaning is in the tension between the contradictory answers. That's perfect. That is,
it is
damn perfect.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of songs. We're going to do a crossword puzzle on wind because there's windy cities and wind. I know Nancy's going to enjoy that. We're going to have recipes of the day. So all of these links are in the show notes, especially for Johnny and Eva. I want everyone to know Johnny. You can keep up with him at herejohnny.com. EvaEldridge.com. And Steve is on blendradiontv.com. Just type in Steve Schneikert. And so we're going to have a crossword puzzle we do on the site, on this page. We'll link it from there. Also, the recipe of the day will include beans because doesn't that make sense? The book of the day, Eva, what do you think? Gone with the Wind, because it's a movie and book. What do you think?
I think that would be perfect. You could do the perfect storm too, but that's more ocean going, you know.
Yeah.
I think Gone with the Wind is good.
You could have the wind in the willows.
That would be nice. Yes. That's nice.
Okay, my granny had a poem. She used to, it's more of a ditty. The more you eat, the more beans are a musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot.
The other one? What's the other one you did? The poop, poop, poop. What's the one with
the what?
She had the thing of somebody going over the fence and pooping or farting.
Oh, you tried to climb the garden wall?
Yeah.
And, okay, so he tried to climb the garden wall. He tried to climb the garden wall. When he got to the top, his butt made him stop. end of the garden wall. That's a ditty. It's a British ditty from my granny.
Oh, so what about the Song of the Sewer?
That is Art Carney.
Okay.
You
okay,
sing
we'll
the
do
Song
that.
Of the Sewer. You see you sing this song. Together we stand, shovel in hand, to keep things moving along. Whoopli bada. Whoopli bada.
All right.
Okay, that's a sewer song. That's different.
Johnny,
Sorry.
You have the song That Smell by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I like
yeah,
that.
Ooh, that smell. I mean, it's actually
Can't you
about
smell?
the smell of death, but.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Then you have like smells like Nirvana.
Well, that's a good
Weird
one.
Al Yankovic. Yeah. And then you smell like poopy man. And you said, this one may be too much, but what
yeah.
the hell? And I'm like, absolutely. Classical gas, but the poopy
I like
man.
that.
I didn't know about this one. And then In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. I love this.
Gosh.
Oh my God. Windy, The Association. Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind, The Swingles. Wind Beneath My Wings by Bette Midler. Yeah, we had
Oh,
to have
yeah.
that. And Blowing in the Wind, obviously, that's an obvious. Unflown would be yours, which means that you have to have the recipe of the day, Johnny. Just saying. Ill Wind by Ella Fitzgerald. I love that. I'm going to add in there Wind Beneath, not Wind Beneath My Wings. She's Like the Wind.
Oh,
Which is
yeah.
From
yeah, She's Like the Wind. Where's that come from?
That is Patrick Swayze. And I used to
What?
actually, yeah, Patrick Swayze. And that was in
Oh.
the dancing movie. Oh, come, you guys know the dance movie. Come on.
Dirty
Steve,
Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. Yes.
Dirty
Dancing.
Dirty
Dancing.
Yeah. And actually, we were where they filmed it. A couple years ago, outside of Asheville, North Carolina, in Chimney Rock, and looking down, you can see the lake. And that's where they filmed them, in the lake, dancing. But no one told anyone they were dancing in the winter in that lake, and they were freaking frozen.
I
it was
bet.
dude, no way. I've been in North Carolina in winter. Hell no. Hell no. Hell no. But She's Like the Wind. Does anybody else have some? Oh, we're going to do
I
the
have
wind.
one, but I have to change one letter, though.
All right.
You know, windmills of your mind.
Oh, yeah,
windmills,
yeah.
Windmills of your hind.
Okay. Oh. No, but it is, it's not just wind, right? It's like,
It's an
we're going to end up with a huge windy list of this. I know we will. But it is, I mean, classical gas is a big deal. And really, there's fart songs out there. We all have fart suit songs. But Steve, come on, sing the fart song. Come on. I know you can. I know. Come on. Please.
Which is, what is it?
The
Beans.
Which
one are you talking?
Beans.
Oh,
are good.
What? Beans, the musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you toot. The more you toot, the better you feel. Beans are for every meal.
And we have
oh,
a recipe for that.
See, that's so close to what my granny sang.
My
wow.
dad did that one too.
Wow.
Yeah, see, I learned it from my mom.
I think we all sing a version of that as in our youth and continue
like
to sing that
up.
Now and then.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
funny. Well, we're going to.
Some
we're
people
gonna
used to end it with beans are the farting fruit.
Yeah. The more you eat, the more you toot. Well, I can't tell any of my jokes or anything because it's not good for the radio show, but like there are some parts are good.
Remember,
you know,
it's about entertainment.
Yeah. Eva, do you have any songs to add to the farting list of wind?
Oh, I do.
No, not really.
Yay.
But
Nancy?
I like listening to yours.
Well, it's Johnny did this. He takes co-hosting seriously. He's co-winding here
no,
in this
but
point.
There's a song that my dad used to play on the saxophone and the sheet music had. These guys in a trench, you know, army guys in a trench, and was called Pass, Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. But he used to sing it as Praise the Lord and Pass the Gas.
like well, that.
I know. So that's a song. But yes. The real song, I have no idea what it sounds like now. Praise the Lord and Passion. Oh, I do, actually. I can kind of hear it.
No, we'll put it up there for everyone on the show, list. Everybody on the, wherever you're listening, if it's YouTube or Spotify or wherever, go in the show notes, go to the actual show page and everything will be linked there. And think of your own wind songs, or even let's just think of this. Let's think of a song title, close the show, that has either fart or song in the title, right? So let's go around the room with this. Even as I say this, what? I'm like, I'm frozen. How am I going to do this? But yeah, if you think of like a band name, right? Think of a band like Lead Bart.
Earth, Wind, and Zeppelin. Fire.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly.
A good one.
Earth, Wind. Yeah, Earth, Bart, and Fire sounds better to me. So look at that, right? So think about it. And it's fun. It's fun as heck. Pass the gas day is about to pass the gas to the next person. I'm giving you a little bit of a scent to move on with yours. Create your own. If you can fart on your own, fart on command, good for you. You have a talent.
My brother could.
Bottle it up. Dude, now
my older brother could.
Did he bottle it up? Did he fart in a bottle and save it?
Well, I think he did one time as a joke, but whenever you'd come into the house, he'd want you to pull his finger.
Oh, yeah. Lisa,
how can
we've
you
had
do that
happen.
How can people just fart on command? I can burp on command.
Me too. I could do that, but not. And I never really thought about doing it either.
Yeah, it is what it is. But anyway, guys, we got to go. But if anybody has a joke at the end here or a song, Eva, you got one. Come on. I know you do.
What, Eva? The one I just texted you? Dust
yeah,
in the Wind
text
by Kansas?
Me, say it. Dust in the Wind. That's it. Dust in the Wind. Mm-hmm. We're going to add that. What about you, Johnny? Any more? Are you going to?
Maybe with that movie title, you could do a fart runs through it instead of a river runs through it.
I like that. I love ending when, like, put the farty poopy in there. You know, it's like, yes. Yeah. Steve, any songs for you?
No more.
Oh, you did it. You did it. You did
fire.
Get, yeah. He's done. He's tapered off.
The Empire Strikes Back.
I know the Empire. Oh, that was great. I love that. I love that. I love that. I know. I can't even think of like a song like right now. Even the ones that I really love all the time. Like I can't even, it doesn't even go there. It's weird. It's like, it makes no sense unless it's really like a prolific song, right? Hotel Farts. That's what I'd like to do because I'm so tired of hearing Hotel California across the country. No offense to the song. It's a great, well-crafted, one of the best songs ever written. But if I ever hear it again, I would like to hear Welcome to the Hotel Farts. Period.
Okay.
It would be much better for me.
I have a quote about farts from William Shakespeare, of all people.
All right.
It is, a man may break a word with you, sir, and words are but wind. I am break it in your face, so he break it not behind.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to fart right now.
Oh,
seriously.
Get the talcum powder.
I know, I know. And listen, thank you to Eva for the other night when I thought I could try and recreate the talcum powder twins through burps. Said, do not use powdered sugar.
No.
Thank you for that. I did not do it.
No,
I have
sticky.
Not tried to recreate that yet, but we'll see. If I can, it'll be in the show notes. But
one more thing. Jonathan Swift, the author of Gulliver's Travels, says,
oh, I love him.
Really, says that women would be far better off if they farted once.
They would. I agree. Well, because everybody's prim and proper, right? They sit with tea back in those days, all prim and proper, and you know you want to
And
bust
I've
one
gone
out.
down the farting rabbit hole here.
What women couldn't do back in the day, if you pass gas or you let one rip, like, come on, let one rip is like one of the best terms of all. You know, you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to let it go. Because, and sometimes they, you let
Let it
one rip
go, let it
and you
flow.
think it's not, you think this is the whole thing about passing gas. You think, oh, this will be quiet. No one will know. Oh, but the whole room knows. And you look around the room, they look at you. You know, they know, and you know you did it.
Okay, can I do
Dogs
one
know,
more?
everybody knows. But then here's the thing about passing gas when, hey, I'm going to let it rip. Well, you let it rip and you decide to give it that extra push. Well, you might have a pebble in your butt ski thing. You know, whether you're wearing underwear, whatever underwear, you may have a pebble or you may have a splat in there. Don't push the butt ski out. Do
Can
not push the fart.
I do one more?
I am going to
No.
fart now. I swear to God,
No,
you're,
no.
I'm getting ready
Okay,
for a Tom Thumb.
I can't leave out Mark Twain.
Oh, no, you
He
can't.
did, no, he did a one-act show during a private gathering for Queen Elizabeth's court
What?
where somebody farted, prompting the queen to ask about its source. And Lady Alice, her woman in attendance, said, "Nay, 'tis not I who has brought forth this rich, oh, mastering fog, this fragrant gloom. So pray you think further." In other words, she's saying she didn't do it.
Well,
Dude,
silent
back
but
in Mark.
violent.
It no, it's not violent. It's just about
No,
people.
silent but violent.
Yeah, okay. But it no, and if man, you could go down the fart rabbit hole.
You don't want to
Right.
stick your
Sitting
nose
in
in
a
there too
plane.
far.
You sit in a
Oh.
plane, you're stuck on a plane in a very, very tight, on the cattle class, and you smell something pretty strongly. And you look and you poke your partner and go, "Was that you?" And they're going, "No, it wasn't me." And you both start cracking up laughing because it was somebody in front of you who let out a stinker. You can't
Do,
prove it, but
you know
it's
what?
cut that
But you
it's
know,
awful, but
yeah.
it's funny.
Hey, you
But
know, there's that
that's
saying.
what Nancy and I go through even on the road. We'll end up
Oh,
hitting
dude.
cattle areas and you may not even
Oh,
see the
man, the
cattle
cattle are
areas.
bad.
Or paper mills and stuff like that really stink and bogs stink because they're rotting,
Feedlots
you
are
know.
bad.
Right. And we ended up on the road last year in just outside Dallas as usual. God, I hate driving through there. And we were in like a few hours of a stopping thing and we were stuck next to a cattle truck. And the cattle, I swear, like then I'm like, I'm never eating meat again. But that's really not true. But it made me really rethink how we do our food. These cattle, they were traumatized on a highway inside the, I don't mean to bring this up on the show, I shouldn't. But it was all I can say, it was very stinky because stuff was flying and pee, poop, stinky. And I'm looking at Nancy going, what did you just do? Do we need to go? Like, how? I can't take you anywhere. We're stuck in the median. Like, we're stuck, you know? And where we were, people were driving off the median into the swamps and stuff. Like, that's how some of these traffic jams happen in certain areas. People start driving off into the swamps and out. And I'm going, if I do that now, our car will be, that's when she will choose to say, I'm dying now. So I'm not doing it. But yeah, that was probably one of the stinkiest car stops
Wasn't
for
me.
hours. No, it was. I looked at Nancy immediately and I went, Nancy.
Know, you always
An
blame me.
immediate Nancy. And she just looked at me and she basically told me where to go. And then we looked around, and here we were parked next to this cattle trailer. And we had calves, little calves. So we talked to them through the whole thing. We sat and talked to them. The truck driver didn't appreciate that, apparently. But we talked to them. We tried to calm them because they were harassed. They didn't understand what was going on. So at the end of the day, eat local, yo. I'm just saying, what happens to these cattle going from town to town is not that nice. We see it with chickens, turkeys, everything. So in the new year, maybe look at eating local as best you can. If you can't, fine, get it. We get it. But these animals do not like being transported across the country to be slaughtered. That was a very horrible situation that we saw. Yeah. But, and stinky. Those poor babies. Yeah, sorry. But it was stinky. And it was cattle farts and pee. Cattle? Yeah. And babies. They didn't know. They didn't know. You know, they were scared. And that's the other thing. Farts are fun. Farts also mean fear. So, just saying. Anyway, on that note, not to end in a bad note of farts and peas and stuff, thank you all for joining us here on the Big Daily Blend Show. Thank you, Johnny. Johnny is here every first Sunday. And Eva is on our shows all the time. We're going to be talking to her about Cabo San Lucas because she experienced the real mole. Eva, you really did. You like the mole now. That's a thing, it seems to be. Mole.
Actually, yeah. And I went, Mosaic has finally opened again, you know, our little restaurant here. And I had mole for breakfast, and they use more than 100 ingredients. And I'm going to try and go in there and interview Teresa.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, I will find out, because boy, that mole was really good. And I used to not even like it, but wow.
100
I'm blown away.
100
yeah.
ingredients?
Well, we'll see. I'm going to go talk to the creator, Teresa's Mosaic. I'm going to talk to Teresa. Teresa.
I'm just going to go first thing. Did you fart afterwards?
No, that would be scary.
Oh, that's terrible. It's like
oh my God.
Ingredient
Here
fart.
Comes
it's
a
great.
100 ingredients right
oh,
at you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I love it. Thank you, Steve Schneikert, as always, Hollywood historian. We're going to close the show with his Hollywood history on the world in regards to world cinema and movies and character actors, you know, in regards to the Golden Globes, not Honeydew Melons. But with the Golden Globe Awards. Thank you, Steve, as always. But thank you, Johnny.
My pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. Yes, always happy.
Thank you, guys. Behave. Don't be silly like us. Please do. Please do. Take care, everyone. And keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. All the links for everyone are in the show notes again. Take care.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks.
Great.
Happy anniversary.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
United States, the UK, France, Spain, Italy, India, and all around the world. World cinema is a term used primarily in English-speaking countries to refer to the films and film industries of non-English-speaking countries. It is therefore often used interchangeably with the term foreign film. However, both world cinema and foreign film could be taken to refer to the films of all countries other than one's own, regardless of native language. World cinema has an unofficial implication of films with artistic value as opposed to Hollywood commercialism. Movies are universal language. It is magic, and magic is universal. That is what it is like. It is magic. The cinema helps people to escape, to forget the day-to-day. Movies trigger all the senses, sight, sound, and emotions. Some like to be swept off their feet by a film. to feel the goosebumps. Movies allow one to live other lives. Some may cry if the film is very touching. Film moves me in a way that is unforgettable. It triggers emotions that touch me profoundly and personally. That is the magic of the cinema. Cinema is not just a movie. Cinema is art. Cinema is the only thing that, with images, can unite people. We cry for the same reasons. We laugh at the same things. When a movie touches you, it is the best. It affects one in every sense. One change can change and make a difference. So it is a perpetual epiphany. Here are some favorite movies as stated from individuals around the world. The Bicycle Thief, La Vie en Rose, Amelie, Farewell My Concubine, The Last Metro, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, La Strada, Talk to Her, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Day for Night, The Graduate, Mrs. Robinson, You're Trying to Seduce Me, Young Frankenstein, that's Frankenstein, Annie Hall, Modern Times, The Big Lebowski, It's Like a Xanax, Citizen Kane, Rosebud, and Cinema Paradiso. I am Steve Schneikert, and this is Hollywood History as I Recall It.
Radio. Keep up with our shows at BigBlendRadio.com.